We are on study of the book of Luke, and we are in Luke 8 this morning. And we're going to be talking this morning about, some people would call it the parable of the seeds. Some people would call it the parable of the sower. I would call it the parable of the soils. And so we're going to be talking about the farmer who scatters seeds, hits different kinds of soil. And so let's just read it all the way through. And I think it's really good to get an aerial view, kind of get the whole picture instead of just, parceling it up right off the bat because you don't get a whole view of the scripture passage. So let's read it all the way through. When a large crowd was coming together and those from the various cities were journeying to him, he spoke by way of a parable. And Mark 4, so you have what's called a harmony of the Gospels is you have Luke that will talk about the story, but other Gospels will actually talk about the same story and add or detract from details. And so Mark, in contrast to Luke, Mark actually tells us that Jesus, as seemed to be a favorite position of his, was to get into a boat, be speaking from the boat to those who were up on the bank, or up on the Sea of Galilee, the banks of the Sea of Galilee. And it kind of made this great amphitheater. And so the sower, so he's talking about by way of a parable. The sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell beside the road, and it was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky soil, and as soon as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it out. Other seed fell into good soil and grew up and produced a crop 100 times as great. Other Gospels will say 30, 60, 100 times as great. This says just 100 times as great. As he said these things, he would call out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And this is a key phrase and a key application of this passage because he's going to be talking to people who will hear his words, but they won't have ears to hear. And so you picture him addressing this multitude of hundreds, even thousands of people, and he's almost saying, and with you, there's different types of soils of the heart. And what I'm calling out to is I want to address those people who have ears to hear. Well, and Julie actually said that this to me this morning. There, you can hear and you can listen, right? And he's saying, you know, maybe a modern-day translation of it would be, you don't just want to hear the words, you actually want to listen. You actually want to process and do these words that I'm saying. His disciples began questioning him as to what the parable meant. And so they showed that they had good soil of a heart because they're saying, you know, not just saying, yeah, Jesus, thanks for your words. Now, can you give us some more of that bread? And I got this uncle who is needs to be healed, and I want to be identified with you as a public figure. They're actually saying, Jesus, you said some words, and we actually want to understand and do those words. And so he said to them, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. We're going to talk about that a little bit, why Jesus even spoke in parables. Why not just say it straight, you know? Now the parable is this. So now he goes back over to explain the story that he had just told them, and he's going to explain the meaning of it. The seed is the word of God. Those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so that they may not believe and will not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky soil are those who, after they heard, received the word with joy, and these have no firm root. They believe for a while, and in a time of temptation, fall away. The seed which fell among thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the seed, this is the last verse of our context, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. And there's a key word in there, perseverance, bearing fruit with perseverance. Don't we wish that we could just kind of snap our fingers and have the Christian life suddenly appear before us and we are bearing fruit? But it takes perseverance. So let's talk about parable. It says that when he had a large group around him, he started speaking by way of parables. A parable is a story designed to reveal truth and at the same time conceal truth. Wait, that doesn't make any sense. Either you're revealing truth or you're concealing truth. You're not doing both. But what it was he was actually revealing truth to those who had ears to hear, and he was concealing truth to those who were just kind of in this for the ride, but were not really listening to his words. Literally, a parable means to throw alongside. And so what you had was this kingdom principle, this heavenly principle, this thing that Jesus wanted to get across to the people. And what he did was he took something very familiar and he would pair it with this principle that was hard to understand, and he would put something familiar with it. Remember, they were a very agricultural society. We would not understand these principles nearly as much in North Jersey, a little bit more in the area that Julie and I come from because it's a little bit more agricultural, but I think even that's dying out as houses are getting built up on cornfields and everything else like that. But literally, it means to throw alongside. So you have this kingdom principle, something very familiar to the people, agriculture, throwing seeds, and then what was happening was there is this understanding, hopefully, as he reveals truth to them and concealing those who do not desire to understand. So he was getting resisted. If you think about up to this point, it's almost like, and a very, well, I'm going to say his name, John MacArthur would say that Jesus actually makes a right-hand turn and talks almost exclusively in veiled language publicly from here on out. I wouldn't go that far, but I would say that there is a lot of veiling of language. Now, why? Well, one of the reasons why was that Jesus was getting resistance. And so he's, as we talked about last week, he's at a Pharisee's dinner party, and there's this woman who comes up and washes his feet, and he gets resistance. He gets criticized. His disciples do something very lawful on the Sabbath day, which is to pick barley or wheat and to eat it out of the field, and he gets criticized for that, for doing work on the Sabbath. He heals a withered guy's hand, and he gets criticized for healing someone's hand on the Sabbath. He gets criticized. He performs a miracle, and they say, "You did this by way of Satan." And this is the very famous phrase where he said, "Of sin will be forgiven it, but a sin of the Holy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven," because it was actually attributing the work of the Holy Spirit of God to Satan. And so he was getting criticized left and right. Plus, there was an awareness that there were people that were using Jesus. And so the question of why speak in parables, Jesus was saying, you know what? I've done a lot of speaking here. We're going to take a right-hand turn, and we're going to speak by way of parables now, so that those who have ears to hear will hear. It's going to be revealed. But those who don't have ears to hear, it's going to be concealed to them. And so you have the parable of the seed just right after this. If you look in Scripture, you have the parable of the seed. You have the parable of the tares and the wheat. You have the parable of the leavened bread. You have the parable of the hidden treasure. You have the parable of the pearl of great price. And here you have a parable of the soils. And so Jesus is talking in stories. Now, one thing is Jesus, I think, loved to be a storyteller. But kind of co-joined to that was the fact that he was veiling truth to a number of people who did not have ears to hear. Okay, so I do this a fair amount, and some of these questions are so basic that they're revolutionary. And so what we can do is we can tend to read through a story like this parable and not ask even the basic questions so we can kind of get this really good understanding. And one thing is, wait a second, you're talking about someone sowing seeds. Who is sowing seeds? And the Sunday school answer is to say, well, Jesus. And it's absolutely true. Jesus, yes, But also, if you understand Matthew 28, 18 to 20, just not the commission of 19 to 20, but 18, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. And then he gives authority to us to be able to speak the word of God, the gospel of truth. Acts 1, 8, but you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so it is absolutely Jesus speaking the gospel, the word of God, but you see a passing on to us and to believers who are actually scattering the seed. So the sower, we tend to think of the sower, well, of course the sowers are the pastors and the missionaries and the evangelists and the Christian writers, you know, Max Lucado or whoever comes to your mind. Of course, they are the ones scattering seed, but then we can tend to back off and say, wait a second. The Great Commission is for everyone, and that includes little old me. That includes little old me in the workplace. That includes me in the neighborhood. That includes me in my family. And so the sower is anyone who takes the authority of the word of Jesus and says, you know what, I'm going to be a sower. I'm going to sow the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay, what is the seed? So you got the sower throwing seed. What is the seed? Well, it is clear from this passage that it is the word of God. But it's interesting in verse 12, it says more specifically, it's not just the word of God, but it's something that someone's going to either respond to or not respond to. And if they don't respond to what's being sown there, they will not believe and be saved. And so I would say, yes, absolutely, we sow the seed of the word of God. But in this context, I think it's specifically the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the soil? That's where it gets really interesting. Because guess what the soil is? It's the soil of the heart. It's the soil of the mind. And so some seed gets thrown to soil that's hard. But it's the condition of the heart. The heart can actually be thought of as the mind or the seat of the consciousness. It's where we process the world and make reality out of the world around us. And so the sower sows seed, the word of God, and then there's four different types of soils. The sower is the same. It's someone who expresses and tells the word of God. The seed is the same, is the word of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. But where it changes is the receptivity to the word of God being sown. Let's talk about four different types of hearts from this context. And here's the first one. If you're taking notes, there's some blanks for you to fill in here. But there is the hard heart. It says, those beside the road are those who have heard, and the devil comes along away and takes away the word from their heart so that they will not believe and be saved. Now, let me do a footnote here, because there's volumes that have been written about when is a person truly saved, what if they show evidence of not being saved, and can someone lose their salvation? And what I want to say is the first heart, the hard heart, is absolutely someone who has not trusted, it's saying not believed and be saved. Okay. The last one, it's very clear that this person is saved. It's the fruitful heart. But the middle two hearts, volumes have been written on them that we don't know for sure if this person is truly saved or not. And you look at the whole of Scripture, and it does talk about those who are believers who are carnal. Okay, and so what we're going to do, we're going to kind of set that aside and say we're going to assume that the middle two hearts are people who were saved, but they're not bringing forth fruit. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. I'm going to give you some examples. I had, when I first got out of college, I want to talk to you about Brian and the hard heart. And Brian, I got out of college. I was working for a piano company. And what we did was we would restore pianos and we would also deliver pianos. And that was my one of my first jobs. And I can remember applying for the job, and a guy says, come over here and try lifting a piano. And I tried lifting the piano and was like, I'm never going to survive. These things are heavy. 440 pounds. It's like, but somehow I made it through, and Brian and I did a lot of work together. Brian was an atheist. Brian would actually give comment. It was a Christian company that I worked at, Christian owner and a lot of Christian workers there. And he'd give comment on it. He'd say, yeah, you know, it's really interesting how you're more relaxed when you present the gospel to me. Whereas so-and-so, he's all uptight and everything. So he'd actually give comment on, you know, the style of gospel being delivered to him. But he didn't accept it. I remember spending an hour one time talking to him about and just reasoning with him why we believe that there is a God. And, you know, you draw a circle. And even to this day, it's something that I use talking to somebody who is an atheist or an agnostic. And I took him through this for an hour. No difference. He didn't believe. And to this day, many years later, as far as I know, he has never trusted Christ. That seed fell on a hard heart, on hard soil. I don't know if you know who Chuck Smith is, but he is the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement. I don't know how many of you know Calvary Chapel churches, but he started one, I believe, out in Costa Mesa, California. And he talks about being involved in a high school football team, speaking into the football players' lives and everything. Well, it happened that the coach of these young men got cancer, okay? And it was terminal cancer. And he was actually on his deathbed. And his family got Chuck Smith to go and talk to this coach who had terminal cancer on his deathbed. And he went in and he said, you couldn't have met a nicer guy. Very hospitable, talking about football and the players and the guys and everything else like that. And Chuck Smith then introduced the gospel into the conversation. And it was as though the man did a 180-degree turn in his persona, and he started swearing at Chuck Smith. He started insulting him, and he said, you get out of my house. The hard heart, the hard soil. The next one is the shallow heart. Those on the rocky soil are those who, after they heard, received the word with joy, and these had no firm root, and they believe for a while, and in the time of temptation fall away. What happens is in the area of Israel, in the Middle East, there is a lot of limestone. And so what you can have many times is 1 or 2 inches of dirt, fertile soil, on top of limestone. And so you cast your seed on this soil, the root goes down, okay, 1 inch, 2 inch, hits limestone. And then what happens is with nowhere for the root to go, the plant will shoot out of the ground almost prematurely. And as other passages talk about, it gets scorched by the sun. And so this is someone who receives the word with joy, shows signs of being saved, but then doesn't grow. And actually their faith gets scorched out. Julie and I'm going to talk to you this morning about two young ladies that Julie and I were involved with. And let's just call her Ashley. And Ashley, one night, trusted in Christ at our dinner table. And it was an exciting ride. She showed signs of being saved. We videoed her to tell her story about her salvation, and I baptized her. And a lot of great things going on, but the problem was that her root of her family was very rocky. And she had a mother who had been incarcerated. She had a lot of a rough past herself. And eventually, Ashley went with her faith, and it dwindled, 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 and went to nothing. And eventually she, not that this is the cardinal sin, but that she eventually had a baby out of wedlock, and she, to this day, I don't believe that she is living a life for the Lord. So a shallow faith sprang up real fast, very good, but then kind of died out as there just wasn't the root. Then there is the crowded heart. The seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones that have heard. And as they go on their way, they are choked with what? Worries and riches and pleasures of this life. We could almost call it distractions. Just the toys of life, the ambitions of life apart from Christ, and bring forth no fruit to maturity. And so this is the one that gets sown among thorns, and they grow up together. There's growth, there's growth, there's growth, and then there's an intermingling of the thorns that strangle out this plant from reaching full health. I want to tell you the story of a young lady named, let's call her Kay. And when we lived in Pennsylvania, it was our second house that Julie and I had, there was a young lady who, again, trusted in Christ. She was lived right across the street from us. And she had an amazing conversion, especially in spite of the family that she had, very difficult family. And she was on fire for the Lord. She loved the Lord. Then I took her and a number of students to Mexico on a missions trip. And she caught the missions bug. And she said, I know what I want to do with my life. And so she started doing student missions trips. And so she went to Europe on a student missions trip. And then she went to the Amazon on a student missions trip, sharing the gospel along the Amazon. And she got malaria. And she came back home to her family. And her family said, I don't understand this. You're not getting paid anything to do this stuff, and you're getting sick. How in the world can you do this mission stuff? And her family all lived in the same neighborhood, aunts, uncles, cousins, and they kind of went like this on her life. They could not believe that she would go on these trips and get malaria. And they squashed her, and they succeeded. And to this day that I know of her, she is not living for the Lord. She had the root, went down, grew up, but the thistles and the thorns of life, especially the persecution of her family, squashed out her faith. Next one is the fruitful heart. And we're going to end on a very happy note. But what we want to really do is say, you know, let's keep an eye on I want to keep an eye on my heart, but also keep an eye on the hearts around me, and how can I pray specifically for those hearts. But there's the fruitful heart. But the seed is in the good soil. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. And there's a number of examples that I could give you of the fruitful heart, but I have to go back to my brother, Bill, who... It's interesting that his heart, as I grew up with him, was many of these different types of soils. But this time, there were two men, he worked at a meatpacking plant, and there are two men who actually started speaking the word of God to him, planting the seeds with him. And he actually caught the Jesus bug, fell in love with the Lord, and took his life, and for the past 3-4 decades has been living in Kensington, Philadelphia, in a drug-ridden neighborhood, and making an amazing impact on thousands of people in that neighborhood. And so you have the fruitful heart. 4 applications. What kind of soil are you? If you think about it, as you hear the word of God, is there a hunger? Is there a desire for it? Or would you have to say, you know what? There was a time when my heart was soft, but right now, my heart's pretty hard. Or you would say, I have a shallow heart. And, you know, I had that kind of joy, that moment when I was a teenager or when I was in college, and I had that moment, and I grew up, and I was kind of scorched out. I had my moment, but if I'm honest with you, I was scorched out. Or maybe you say, as I sit today, I have a crowded heart. There's just so much going on that's kind of, I've lost the Lord along the way. He hasn't lost me. I know I have my salvation, but man, there's a lot on my mind, and the Lord just is not taking first place in my life. Or you're saying, I am so thankful. I'm not going to brag here. I'm not going to say it's all about me and this is what I have done, but it's the fruitful heart. And you have a fruitful heart where the Word of God comes in and it is producing fruit. And without the intention of hearing the Word of God and putting it into practice, the Word of God is going to get old for you because you can't absorb any more than a sponge can absorb. And eventually you have to give out. You have to give out. There has to be listening, hearing, obeying. Are you scattering the seed of the good news? And here's a very simple way to put it. Who is your top five list of people who do not know Jesus Christ that you are praying for and you are seeking with the good news? Or maybe it's three people, or even if you can name one person, and you're saying, this is my top one, this is my top three, this is my top five people in my life that I am praying for, and I'm seeking those inroads into their life. You know, we talk about this thing called rocket science, and it's actually not rocket science. Get into relationship. Take the relationship beyond just kind of, hey, how you doing, from the driveway or from the water cooler at work or whatever it is. Seek to get into a deeper relationship with that person where you can actually share things that are at a deeper level than, hey, how you doing, or the latest sports team or whatever. Ask their story, tell your story, okay? In relationship, you ask their story, and you tell your story, which is your testimony. And pray for, Caesar just talked about this morning, but pray for crossroad opportunities that you have where relationship crosses life experience, and there is an opportunity that opens up. Now, we don't, you know, wish and pray bad things to happen on people, but bad things happen to people. And so there is, like a neighbor across the street from me in Houston, there is that heart attack. There is that loss of a job. There is that divorce. And there is those times when relationship crosses with a need or opportunity. And who does that person go to in that time of need? Well, they go to somebody that they're already in relationship with. And so I would really challenge you, are you scattering the seed of the good news? Only God can plow the ground in others. And so you say, as I look around my family, there's some tough ones. Or as I look around my workplace, there's some tough ones. Or as I look around my neighborhood, or as I look around the PTA meeting, or wherever you are, you say, I don't know how it's going to happen. I see a lot of hard hearts. I see a lot of shallow hearts. And remember that only God can plow the ground. And so as you have these people that you would like to reach with the good news of Jesus Christ, pray. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. There's been people that I would imagine you too, that have just been praying for years and decades for their salvation. Only God can plow the ground in others to make it fertile soil to receive the word. I do my part. I pray. I seek those crossroads opportunities. But God is the one who opens up the ground and makes it fertile soil. Last one is, there is a harvest. See, we can get, the video I'm going to show is going to explain that a lot more, but we can get kind of involved in, yeah, we just kind of lump along in life, and you know, I've met resistance, and then I've done this, and I've met resistance. Jesus's point, I think a huge point of Jesus's parable, is that there is a harvest. There is fruit that comes from the Word of God. So what I want to do is I want to show you a video. This is actually not a professionally done. This is one that we produced down in when we were down in Texas. And it's really good to retell the story of the soils. It's really good to emphasize that there is a harvest. And then watch the stories of people talking about people that they've led to Christ and that there is a harvest.